she's calm, and then all of a sudden she develops a sense of humour. As usual, he was coming across as reasonable and fair, while making me out to be the pain in the backside. Planting the seed of suspicion was a specialty of his. Plus, he knew that falsely accusing me of doing things or being things was likely to crack me. She did a runner because she was angry with me, not because she doesn't love me or want to be with me. Isn't that right, Sam Love? God, I wanted to smack him. I wanted to scream out to Antonio that Victor was a lying, manipulative twat and not to listen to a word he said. Victor knew this, but I didn't do those things because I knew that the more energy I spent trying to defend myself, the weaker I would be to his power. What is it you want? Victor's smile disappeared, but his friendly, caring tone remained. I just want you to come home, love. What else would I want? No. The word was no more than a whisper. It hurt to get it out, especially since a part of me hated myself for saying something so awful, all thanks to the heavy dose of self-loathing. Good girl. I could almost feel Jared's pride. No, chuckled Victor without humour. As he took a few steps toward me, another emotion came crashing down on me. Desire. It stirred low in my stomach, sending a bolt of warmth through me. My thighs instantly clenched, and I had to swallow back a moan. Don't be daft, love. Come to me. He opened his arms, and it was a struggle to not walk straight into them. What's he trying to make you feel now? He wants me to want him. A second later, Victor's head whipped to face Jared, and I felt a million times lighter as the saddle of emotion slipped away from me. I could guess that Jared must have sent a telepathic thought to Victor that he really didn't like. I spoke quickly. You've come to hear it from me, so here it is. I'm not going back with you, Victor. I'm asking you to free me from your hold. Victor snickered. Oh, I bet you're very pleased with yourself, aren't you? Getting picked to partake in the Legion's tryout, and then being hired by Antonio as a commander. You just remember that I'm the one who made you, and I'm the one who taught you how to use your gift. Taught isn't the word I'd use, I spat. And every single strength you have, you owe to me. You wouldn't be where you are now if it wasn't for me. I smiled. Then you only have yourself to blame for Antonio offering me a position, don't you? His snarl was loud and feral, making Nero and Achilles bark. Victor, will you release me from your hold? Never, he growled. No surprise there. You're mine. I turned my attention to the powerful vampire sitting on the sofa. Antonio, you've witnessed me say I don't want to leave with him. Will you grant me release from his hold? Victor pivoted on the spot and bared his teeth at him. Had he been a Kasia vampire and had fangs, it would have been an unnerving sight. She's mine! The guards were beside their Grand High Master instantly. Antonio, completely unfazed by Victor's behavior, said calmly, Samantha Parker, I release you from your sire's hold with immediate effect. No one else felt it but me. That surge of black, bottomless hatred, that seething need to cause pain. I could sense it coursing through Victor. Then there was a snap within him. Antonio's guards were quick and would have easily apprehended Victor before he reached Antonio, but I didn't think about that when I saw him ready to pounce. All I thought about was defending Antonio. Soaking up the energy around me, I felt it swirl in my grasp, and I blasted it out of my palm in the form of a thermal beam. The long, silvery ray of hot energy buried itself into Victor's abdomen and burned him from the inside out, his favorite thing for me to do to his marks. He cried and writhed and fell to his knees, and I felt that same pain, like being torn open and sliced by a boiling hot knife. Heat shot through my body, singeing my extremities. And then, with one last loud cry, he disintegrated completely. Then it was my turn to cry out.
Jared. I couldn't believe she'd done it. Not many vampires would kill their sires. It was the same feeling of killing a parent. Even if they were a total ass, you respected that they created you, and you had a special link with them. Well, in most cases anyway. Plus, the physical pain of destroying that link and killing your sire was, from everything I'd heard, unbearable. It could even make vampires ill. It was the only thing that could. So there Sam was on her knees, gritting her teeth against an agony that I could only imagine. I was the first to react. It was pure instinct to kneel beside her and pull her to me, locking my arms around her. I'd half expected her to push me away, what with her being as stubborn as she was. But instead, she buried her face in my chest, while her hands clamped down tightly on my arms. An ear-piercing whine escaped her mouth, despite how much she was grinding her teeth together. She was shaking so hard, she was more or less convulsing. I couldn't even tell where the pain was coming from. "What hurts?" I asked Luther and Antonio as they rushed over to her. The dogs were making slight howling sounds. "Will it be her stomach? Her head? What?" Luther gazed down at her with sympathy.
"The pain supposedly hits every single part of your body."
I exhaled heavily, feeling the urge to punch something. "How long will it last?"
"She could be like this for minutes, or hours," replied Antonio, running a hand over her hair.
She didn't seem to feel it. I wasn't even sure if she knew who was holding her. "Sam? Sam?"
"It burns!"
The pain was obvious in her mental voice. "Where?"
"Everywhere."
"Brave little thing, isn't she?" said one of the guards.
"A very extraordinary young lady," commented Luther.
Just then, her body shook hard, and blood poured out of her mouth, drenching my t-shirt. I glanced up at Antonio and Luther. "Is there anything that'll make it stop?" I already knew the answer would be no.
"You have to think of it as her body grieving," said Luther. "As vampires, our links with our sires are based on the exchange of blood that occurred during the creation process. Victor drank her to near death, and then fed her his own blood. Her body no longer has a living, breathing blood link, and it is grieving it. Grieving is a process. Painful. Draining. Overbearing. It must run its course. For vampires who have ended the life of their own sire, the agony will be no less than excruciating. I'm told that the pain is bad enough that it makes you want to die."
"Jared?"
She sounded weak. But there was something else in her mental voice. Hope, maybe.
"Hold me still."
"What?"
"Just hold me still."
So I did. I tightened my arms around her until she was as still as I could get her. Then I watched, completely baffled, as she moved one of her hands from my arm to her chest. A slight zing went through her body. Mere seconds later, she was limp in my arms.
"What's wrong with her?"
Seized by panic, I set her back slightly and examined her body with my eyes. The hand she had against her chest flopped down to her lap, revealing something small lodged there. Holding her securely with one arm, I used my free hand to pluck the little thing out from between her breasts.
"Is that a thorn?" asked Antonio.
I laughed a little. I would never have thought of that.
"What is it?"
When she was coaching the guys, she absorbed Chico's power to exhale poisonous thorns. Thorns that knock you unconscious for a couple of hours.
"Smart," said Luther. By the time she wakes up, the effects of severing the link may well have worn off.
Perhaps you should teleport her to her apartment, suggested Antonio. I think it will be better for her to wake in her own bed. Oh, and leave her a note to the effect that she should avoid work for the remainder of the night.
Standing upright with her in my arms, I nodded. In a blink, we were in the center of the living area in her apartment. I'd been curious to know what it was like inside, whether she'd tried to put her own mark on it, or whether she'd left it to look like a show home. With books stacked on the shelves, a glass bowl filled with sweets on the little table, and a fleecy throw hanging over the sofa, it had a homey feel to it. I noticed the tiny pink decorative cushions on the sofa, and suspected that Fletcher may have had something to do with them. Sam just didn't seem that girly. As I carried her through the apartment, heading for her bedroom, I noticed that she wasn't the type who had a specific place for everything. The apartment wasn't disorderly or cluttered, but nor was it obsessively and freakishly tidy. It was lived in, like mine. Unfortunately, there was no underwear lying around. Whoa, did I really just wonder about that? Shaking off my dirty thoughts, I laid her carefully down onto her bed and covered her with the satin bedspread. And now I should probably leave. I really should. I really, really should. Especially since she'd be absolutely irate to wake up and see me sitting here next to her. Yes, I was now sitting next to her. I could stay for a while and then just teleport out the second she woke up, though, right? She'd never have known I was there. Tentatively. I know. Since when was I tentative? I brushed that gorgeous curtain of dark hair away from her face and ran my knuckles from her temple to her jaw. I was pretty sure that I'd never done that to a woman before. Not in my 18 years as a vampire, or in my 24 years as a human. But then, there had never been anyone like Sam around me in all those years. She intrigued me on every level. I saw then that I had dried blood on my finger. Her blood. It was all over my shirt, too, from when she'd had a coughing fit. Well, that explained why subconsciously my eyes kept dancing to her throat, and why I'd gotten so incredibly thirsty out of nowhere. It was that enchanting scent. Christ, even the potent scent of her blood all over me hadn't been enough to distract me from how worried I was about her. But as much as I was yearning to taste that blood on my finger, and had almost brought it to my mouth, I didn't want to taste her until she wanted me to. And she would want me to. I'd make sure of that. At least now I had a good enough reason that would motivate me to leave. I needed to change out of this shirt that was soaked in her blood before I lost it. Tentatively, again the tentativeness, I kissed her forehead and ran my hand through her hair one last time. It was when I stood upright that I heard her.
Jared.
Of course I had to question whether I'd only heard it because I'd wanted to. And I'd have to question my sanity if things were so bad that I wanted to hear her voice in my head for no apparent reason.
Jared.
I smiled down at her. Supposedly, when a person was unconscious, they could still hear stuff, right? Maybe on some level, she'd sensed me around her. Or maybe she was dreaming about me. If it was the second, I'd be interested to know just what was going on in that dream. And now, just because I'd heard that husky voice saying my name in my head, I couldn't leave. Sighing in defeat, I shrugged off my leather jacket, which I knew she loved a little too much, so I wore it all the more, and hung it over the wardrobe door that was wide open. A lot of skin-tight stuff in there. Good. I'd bet that they had been pushed on her by Fletcher, though. I peeled off the bloody T-shirt, wiped my hands with it, and balled it up before plonking it in the kitchen bin. Returning to the bedroom, I sat down on the bed. Yeah, she was going to crack every one of my ribs for this. It was a good thing that I had accelerated healing. Keeping a respectable distance between us seemed like the decent thing to do, considering that she was unconscious, and my hands wanted to wander, just like they always did when she was around. So I positioned myself on my back with my arms behind my head, and just watched her sleep, wondering if she'd say my name again.
Sam. I was in that hazy, faraway state that was one stop away from being awake when I felt the body beside me, a chest that was firm and hard, covered in the softest skin. The scent that flavored it was spicy and masculine, a scent that I'd know anywhere and would happily inhale all day long. So what I did next, I did without any real thought. I snuggled into him, laying my head on his shoulder and draping my arm over his chest. God, this was comfortable. A hand appeared on my arm, fingers tickling my skin soothingly. Another hand was then in my hair, stroking through a patch of it ever so gently. I sighed, content. The skin-to-skin contact was interesting. A kiss would be nice, really, really nice. Opening my eyes, I began to raise my head. And that was when I left the faraway land and found myself totally awake and realized my little predicament. My body immediately tensed. Oh, shit. There was a rumbling in the chest underneath me, and a laugh came soon after. I sat up, with the bedspread more or less glued to me. A second later, it registered in my brain that I was fully clothed, but I didn't release the sheet. Gaping, I looked down at a laughing, bare-chested Jared. It was a strain to keep my eyes away from the chest, but I did it. He laughed out the words. Ah, I wondered how long it'd take before you woke all the way up and realized what you were doing. I bet you hate yourself now. Shame I didn't get a kiss. What are you doing in my bed? In my apartment, for that matter? Relax. He was still laughing. And why are you half-naked? You got blood all over my shirt, remember? He sobered up, then. I guess you probably don't. How are you feeling? Pain gone? Yeah. The words came out quiet. Wow, I'd really killed Victor, my own sire. After you put yourself unconscious, which was good thinking, by the way, I brought you here. Anne stayed with me half-naked because... He rolled his eyes. I was going to go to my room and change, but... When he hesitated to continue, I pressed. But what? You don't want to know. I tensed again. Why don't I want to know? What don't I want to know? Seriously, you'll get embarrassed. You don't want to know. No, I really, really do. Cough up. He sighed and sat up. I stayed because you said my name. I was unconscious. Unconscious people don't gab. Not with their mouths. You must have been dreaming about me or something. Was it a good dream? Kinky? I'll bet it was kinky. Tell me about it. I'll analyze it. His smile and arched brow gave him the most impish look ever. I knew my cheeks were an unattractive beetroot shade at that point, which just made me even more embarrassed. A change of subject was urgently required. How long was I out? He shrugged. A couple of hours, not as long as I'd expected. So what, you just lay there all that time? Yeah, he said quietly. I don't think I've ever seen anyone in that much pain. I don't think I've ever met anyone who killed their sire either. A little guilt nipped at me then. My sire. I'd killed my own sire. Victor had been right about one thing. He'd made me, and I'd just gone and killed him. Hey, said Jared, as he gently pinched my chin with his thumb and forefinger. Don't go feeling bad about it. He deserved it. I know they say not to speak ill of the dead, but that Victor was one evil son of a bitch. Did he really try to make you want him? As in, like, desire him? I nodded. So he could make you horny, make you want to have sex with him? It's his idea of foreplay. Was, but it was the only way he could ever get me in his bed. That's sick. It's basically psychological rape. Now I didn't feel so guilty, but I was still surprised at myself. I hadn't hesitated in killing my own sire. Antonio didn't need my protection. He had enough by the way of guards and two pit bulls. But it had been like a reflex to protect him. I hadn't even realized I liked him all that much. I tended to get along best with outgoing people, and Antonio wasn't exactly the life and soul of the party. But he'd freed me from a crazy, cruel, psychological rapist. To think I'd come so close to folding under all the pressurizing emotions. By the way, what did you say to Victor? I was about to snap, and you telepathically said something to him that made him lose all focus on me. Oh, I told him that I didn't want him to take you back because I wanted to screw you a couple more times first. My jaw dropped. You made him think you'd been shagging me. It distracted him, didn't it? I sighed, conceding that he was right. God, I'm thirsty. In the time I'd taken to sling the bedspread off me, Jared had moved with vampire speed to the fridge and back again, now sitting beside me with a red grape-flavored NST. Thanks, I muttered, a little taken aback. Feeling unbelievably drained, I gulped down the drink. My stomach felt better within seconds, but my body had the enthusiasm of a decaying leaf.
Antonio said to tell you to take the rest of the night off. And I really think you should. You look half-dead.
But then the squad will end up having another evening of lounging around.
I won't let them lounge. I'll have them repeat the training they were doing with me earlier. Then tomorrow night you can blast them into the railings again if they don't turn up at the arena.
They'd better. His chuckle was silent. He stared at me for a minute. Not as though he had something to say, but as though it was perfectly normal to just stare at someone. I didn't know how he could be so at ease about it. Before I could comment, he bounced off the bed and retrieved his leather jacket that was hanging over the wardrobe door. My treacherous eyes scrolled down from his face to get an eyeful of the lines, curves, and sinews of his chest. Jared, I couldn't have expected him not to notice, really, could I? Raised a brow. There was no point in trying to deny it, or letting myself fall into a pit of embarrassment, especially when ogling was a favorite pastime of his, too. You look...
Hey, I don't mind you looking. When you're ready to stop pretending you don't want to do more than that, let me know.
Will do, I said sarcastically. Losing his light-hearted air, he sighed as he gazed down at me.
You really don't look great.
Thanks, I mumbled dryly.
Take some energy from me.
What? He sat on the bed again.
Take some energy from me. I know you can easily absorb the natural energy around you, but it can't be as good for your body as energy from a living thing.
He was right. The human body was like a battery.
Come on. The process of severing the link between you and Victor probably sapped nearly every last bit of your energy.
I shook my head.
It's okay, but thanks. You must have done it before to someone.
I nodded. Yeah, but it's weird.
Weird how?
Well, you know when you're really thirsty for any fluid, and you start swigging down a drink, but then you keep going even when you're not really thirsty anymore? Just because it feels so good and soothing against your throat.
Yeah. Don't tell me you get, like, an energy lust.
He smiled at that. I've been known to take more than I need to. I could wipe you out. You'd be just as exhausted as I am now.
I won't let you wipe me out.
You won't stop me. You won't want me to stop. It's almost like when you're drinking blood. It won't make you horny, but it'll make you feel a bit high.
Really? Go for it, then. I'm way too intrigued to let this go. How do you do it?
Well, you don't have much excess energy around you, so the best and quickest way to do it would be for me to put my hands on your head. But that'll probably make you dizzy.
That's okay.
I didn't like the idea of repaying him by sending him off all wobbly. You sure you want to do this?
Sam, just do it.
Hands. I held out mine, palms facing upwards, and he took them. Right. You don't have to do anything, but it'll work better if you don't resist when you feel the pull.
I won't, he assured me in a whisper, as he twined his fingers in mine and shuffled closer to me.
When I say stop, you have to pull away or the connection won't totally break. I didn't actually need to close my eyes, but I did. It was just too distracting to look at him when he was doing that obvious staring thing. It felt as though my entire body was a lung, as it sucked in his energy as if it was vapor. Instantly, Jared shuddered, but he didn't resist.
Sam!
It was a gasp of pleasant surprise. Clearly it felt good to him already. Hungry for more of that force, my body drew in more and more. I felt Jared's hands tighten on my fingers, and then his forehead was suddenly pressed against mine. I opened my eyes to find that his own were closed. I could feel what he was feeling, that he was outside of reality, that he was at peace, and that nothing else mattered but this moment. Well, he was certainly enjoying himself. It was as my body began to grow desperate for more of his energy that I knew I had to stop. It was like heading toward a cliff at high speed, knowing that if you stopped now, you'd be okay, but if you kept upping that speed...
Stop!
I tried to pull my hands away, but Jared held them even tighter.
No, don't stop.
I have to. But his hold was unyielding.
Jared, you have to let go.
But he didn't. He wasn't even having some sort of inner struggle about whether to release my hands or not. He was completely caught up in the feeling. I thought about butting him, but in his state of bliss, the pain wouldn't even register.
Jared!
If he didn't let go of my hands now, I'd fall off that cliff. An idea came to mind, something that was sure to snap him out of it. I kissed him, a firm, greedy kiss. His eyelids shot open, and sure enough, he kissed me back. His hands instantly went to my face and held it to his, as if he was expecting me to pull away any second now. I should pull away, but that was easier thought about than done. That blast of heat that I'd felt last time flowed through me again, making a shudder ripple down my spine. I'd have been lying if I said I wasn't enjoying his tongue exploring the crevice of my mouth, or if I said that my hands were clutching the skin of his back of their own accord. Just like I'd have been lying if I said I hadn't wanted him since first meeting him, or that him being misogynistic had made me want him any less. That was why... When he dragged me onto his lap, I curled my legs around his waist instead of pulling away. He ground me against his erection, growling into my mouth as he intensified the kiss tenfold. It was raw and primal and drugging. Then he was skating his hands all over me as I threaded my fingers through his hair, just like I'd imagined doing that first night when I saw him at the pool. Shoving up my vest, his hands flayed possessively over my breast, clutching and kneading, while his mouth latched onto a nipple through my bra and plucked at it with his teeth. Suddenly, my head hit a hard surface, and there was a strong smell of earth. Jared released my nipple and looked around just as I did. Then he laughed.
"Why are we in the arena?" I asked, spooked. "You must have teleported us here."
Say again.
When you took some of my energy, you must have absorbed a little of my power.
But I didn't try to teleport us.
I certainly wasn't thinking about the arena.
Thank God it was empty of people.
It can be a little temperamental until you get used to it. The arena's been on your mind the past couple of days, right? So, here we are.
Yes, here we were, bodies pressed together, my hands in his hair, my legs tangled around his waist, hearts hammering away. I had no idea what to say. Whatever Jared saw on my face made him release an aggravated sigh and move from above me. I got to my feet, more mentally off balance than I could ever recall feeling. As we stared at each other wearing dubious expressions, it made me think of last night after we had broken away from each other.
I know you only kissed me because you couldn't get through to me before. I know that. But you didn't stop, Sam. You could have, because sure enough, the kiss served its purpose. Not only did you not stop, but you got so carried away that you teleported us without trying to. So I'm thinking that maybe you want me a lot more than you're letting on.
I honestly wasn't sure what he wanted from me. Yeah, a shag, but I didn't get why it was so important. Jared, why are you pushing this? What is it you want to hear?
I just need to understand why you pull away from me.
Oh, he wasn't used to rejection. Blokes and their egos.
I know you said that you find me having three consorts a bit weird, but, I mean, what is it that you're saying exactly? Is it that you want me to get rid of them? That you want to be my only consort? That you want more from me than just sex?
He did seem genuinely confused, and my first thought was that he must be one vain bastard. But I couldn't help but notice how much confusion had coated that last question. It seemed that he wasn't so much confused that I didn't want him, as he was confused that I wouldn't be perfectly happy to simply use him for sex. Just like all the other women, including his consorts, used him, I mused. Huh. I sure as hell knew what being used felt like. But whereas I was determined for it not to happen again, it seemed that Jared had simply become accustomed to it. The world had to be a lonely place for Jared then, didn't it? It made me feel a pang of empathy for him. I held up my index finger. All right. First of all, I'll never be anyone's consort ever again in my life. I thought I made that clear, and I don't want some fairy tale relationship. I couldn't give that much of myself anyway when I've only just got me back.
I don't want a relationship either, so what's the problem?
Yep, he genuinely didn't understand why I wouldn't be content to use him, just like those others did. But he was using them too, and therein lay my problem. Jared, I can't sleep with someone who sees women as possessions. I've been doing that for the past 3 years.
I see women as possessions.
You have three tucked in a little apartment. He sighed and shook his head, still looking baffled.
So you're saying that you ignore that you want me because I have consorts? So then you do want me to get rid of them?
You're not listening to me. You see women as possessions. That is the problem. He started pacing in front of me.
Why are you being so judgmental about this? I'm not the only one who has consorts. Antonio has them. Do you judge him?
Antonio isn't asking me to sleep with him.
Half of the commanders have them. Most of the security guards have them.
Yeah, and some of them don't. Sebastian doesn't, your brother doesn't. He halted his pacing and his irises glowed red.
Whoa, wait a minute. What does my brother have to do with this?
I'm just saying...
Comparing me to my brother? Who's scoring the most points so far?
Oh, don't be a dick. His gaze suddenly turned studious, like he was trying to see through me. And then a smile, it wasn't a nice one, crept onto his face.
Know what I think, Sam?
He walked toward me stealthily, his eyes narrowed.
I think it's just been that long for you since your body and your mind responded to someone, without any manipulating involved from anybody else, that you don't know what to do. It scares the hell out of you, doesn't it?
I'd never seen him angry before. He was unnerving, to be truthful. At the same time as wanting to reach out and calm him, I also wanted to slap him for making me see something about myself that I really hadn't wanted to see. I was, human and vampire years added together, 23 years old, and I didn't know how to handle something as basic as desire anymore. Maybe, I allowed. It didn't seem worth denying it. Can you honestly blame me for that? Can you blame me for not wanting to feel like someone's possession anymore? Every single time he touched me, I felt sick, dirty, and sometimes I wanted to die. So excuse me if I don't want to sleep with someone who sees women as nothing but sexual outlets just the same as he did. Jared pointed hard at me and spoke through his teeth. Hey, I am nothing like him. Don't ever compare me to him again. I'll tell you what, Sam. He raised his hands. I'll make things easy for you. Right now is the last time we'll ever talk about this. I'll never come on to you ever again. The bet's off. You can just get on with your celibate lifestyle, and I'll get on with shagging my sexual outlets. He then teleported away, leaving me alone with thoughts that I didn't want at the forefront of my mind, and feelings that I didn't want to feel. If I, a vampire, a creature that was naturally sensual, couldn't even cope with desire, then I was basically broken, wasn't I? I hated Victor so much right now. And Jared. Actually, no, I didn't hate him. I hated that he was so infuriated with me. I hated that he was somewhere thinking bad of me. I hated that I'd hurt him. How could I have compared him to Victor? I hadn't been comparing him to Evan, or at least not in the way that he was thinking. I wasn't weighing up who was the better brother to be with. I didn't want to be with either of them. I honestly just wanted to belong only to myself and not have to be concerned with pleasing other people. Well, I got what I wanted, so why didn't it feel as liberating and comforting as it should?
Chapter 6. Jared. I hadn't been kidding when I told Sam to go enjoy her celibate life while I went to screw one of my possessions. That was exactly what I was about to do right now, even if it did make me feel sick. I watched as Joy writhed underneath me, begging me to enter her. She looked beautiful when she was like this. She had no problem with losing all self-control. She was eager when it came to experimenting. She said, moaned, all the right words. She knew exactly what I liked and exactly how I liked it, and she did it without even being asked to. All of that made her my favorite of the three. But that wasn't why it was her who I'd come to. I wanted her because right now, even though I hated myself for feeling it, I wanted to hurt Sam, and I knew she really disliked Joy, the twig. It didn't make sense that I'd do this, considering that I wasn't exactly going to tell Sam about it. Surprisingly, her rejection had hurt. So maybe all I was really trying to do was make myself feel better. Yeah, that wasn't working too well. Because as much as Joy was beautiful and seemed to have this innate gift for sex, she wasn't Sam. With that thought, my hands halted at the snap of my jeans. My heavy sigh made a slight whistle as it escaped through my gritted teeth.
What is it?
Asked Joy in a whiny voice, looking up at me with a sulky expression. Nothing.
Well, it must be something. You've just stopped.
I'm just a little worn out, that's all. I was drained. Sam had taken a fair bit of my energy, in more ways than one.
Okay. Well, lay on your back, and I'll ride you. I'll even do the reverse cowgirl if you want.
Her grin was seductive.
We haven't done that in a while.
Not a bad idea, actually. Then I wouldn't have to look at her. Every time I looked at her face, I was just reminded that hers wasn't the face that I wanted to see. There didn't seem any sense in cutting short sex with her just because I was thinking about someone else. Someone who I'd never have like this anyway. But all I wanted to do was leave. Then an idea popped into my head. It was totally immoral and unethical, but appealing all the same. I could ask Joy to do the thing I loved most out of all the things she could do. I could ask her to use her gift of physical imitation. Plenty of times she had morphed into someone else for me. She'd do it now, no questions asked. Sam could be underneath me, just like that. Then maybe all this frustration would go away. Maybe half my problem was that I was just too curious about what it would be like with her. Maybe if I got that curiosity cured, I'd be all right again. The thought left my mind pretty much as fast as it came. Having Joy transfigure was always fun. What guy wouldn't want to sometimes have Jennifer Aniston or Cameron Diaz suddenly underneath them? But in this instance, it just wouldn't work. I didn't just want Sam's body. I wanted her. I wanted her mind, her blood, her voice, her scent, everything. The whole package. Not that I wanted a relationship. I wasn't built for those. But I wanted all of her to belong to me and only me while she was with me. Joy could look like her, but she'd never be her. Whether I liked it or not, it wasn't just curiosity that made me want Sam. I hated both her and me for that. So I did the only thing I could really do. I left Joy on the bed, gaping, while I grabbed my jacket and, without a word, teleported to the bathroom of my apartment. A cold shower had a way of making me less stressed, and I actually did feel better after it. Less frustrated, less dreary. Since I would soon be in dreamland, there wasn't any point in picking out an energizing drink. Instead, I retrieved two lager-flavored NSTs from the refrigerator. The first barely touched the sides as it went down. I was a little more civilized with the second, taking little swigs as I left the kitchen and entered the living area. That was when I felt it. That familiar tug in my stomach. Every one of my senses seemed to be having a sing and a dance, leading me straight to the balcony. Without opening the doors, I looked down to see just what I'd known I'd see. Sam. She was in the pool, fully clothed. As she rested against one of the walls of the pool, she was gazing up at the moon as though it might answer a question that she wished she didn't have. Snort. I knew how that felt. I didn't go out onto the balcony. I didn't want her to sense me watching her like she had last time. Besides, I'd meant what I'd said. I'd never come onto her again. Sucking in a long breath, I started to move away from the window. But then a vision of something snagged my full attention, and I wanted to punch that something's lights out. Slaphead.
Sam, why couldn't I have just said a big resounding no when Jared asked me to feed off his energy? Then I wouldn't be in this mess at all. I wouldn't have kissed him again. I wouldn't have teleported us both to the training arena, so he would never have had a big blowout, and he wouldn't hate me. Amazing how one little decision could have such an effect. Right now, I really wasn't impressed. I'd been in my apartment totally brassed off and thinking that I just needed to cool off, and the next thing I'd found myself at the bottom of the pool. Damn this teleporting shit. I didn't bother getting out. I'd wanted to have a dip in the pool the minute I'd spotted it. Only problem was that when I thought of the first time I'd seen it, I remembered the vision of Jared swimming in it. Tonight had been one of the worst nights ever. First, I'd had my squad being absolute sods, to the point that I'd had to send a blast of air to knock them off their feet. Then I'd had to see Victor again. Then I'd killed Victor. Then there'd been that horrible, indescribable agony while my body grieved. Then there'd been all that stuff with Jared. And now I was stuck worrying where this teleporting power was going to take me to next. I definitely had to stop thinking about Jared in case it took me to him. That'd be bad. So I thought about the pool, the feeling of the cool water lapping up against my skin, Technically, then, I should stay where I was. I thought of how weird it had felt swimming just minutes ago. That had been my first time since becoming a vampire. Thank God, it was effortless. I didn't struggle to stay fully afloat, no matter how tired I was. I didn't have to dig deep in myself for the energy to keep going, and nor did I have to wait long before my hair dried. Closing my eyes, I thought about how peaceful it was here in the water alone, and how relaxed my body was becoming, and how... Splash! I opened my eyes to find Max the Slaphead in the pool. He hollered a noise of exhilaration. "I'll say this only once," I told him. "Fuck off." "No, no," he said, wagging a finger. "Sure you have your authority when it's training time, but right now I'm on my own time, and I'm staying." "Tosser," I cursed, too brassed off to take much notice of his bare chest. There had been a lot of bare chests going around tonight. He came a little closer.
"I heard what happened."
I tensed. A lot had happened tonight, so what exactly did he mean?
"Killing your sire must have been a hard thing to do."
There was a lot of sensitivity in his voice. I hadn't thought of Slaphead as the type to have a sensitive side. "Yeah, well, he was a dickhead."
"I heard that, too."
His smile was only small, but it held all its usual cheekiness.
"At the risk of sounding like a pervert, why are you fully clothed in the pool?"
"Ah, you sound so disappointed. Had you been hoping that jumping in here would get you a better look at what lies beneath?"
"Oh, I can see your assets just fine. Don't worry about it. In fact, with your wet clothes clinging to your skin, it's a really good view."
I splashed a handful of water at him. He shook it off like a wet dog, and then edged closer, but not too close, which I appreciated.
"I wanted to ask you something."
His tone was serious now.
"If you knew that rumors were getting spread round about someone, would you tell them?"
It couldn't have been more obvious what he was getting at. "What have people been saying about me now?"
"The messengers get shot a lot," he continued. "So if you were the messenger, would you risk getting shot?"
"Slaphead, tell me now," I ground out. His eyebrows shot up, and a smile crept onto his face.
"I'm not telling you a thing until you drop the Slaphead thing. We're not working now, we're on our own time, and my name is Max."
"Either get out of the bleeding pool and leave me in peace, or cough up."
"Is it really that hard for you to say my name? Does it make you shudder or something?"
He was even closer to me now.
"Or maybe I just make you nervous."
"You make me want to slap you."
"All right, fair enough. People have been saying that something's going on between you and Commander Michaels."
I stiffened. Had someone been in the arena who we hadn't noticed? I played aloof. "And this rumor is based on..." He gave me an incredulous look, like he thought the answer should be obvious.
"Well, there's how he looks at you. There's how you look at him. There's the fact that there's that much sexual tension between you that it gets us all horny. I mean, come on, you guys can't even work together."
"Thanks for the heads up about the rumor," I said simply.
"Well, do you wish to confirm or deny these rumors?"
"You know what? No comment. And I'll tell you why. You lot need to grasp the fact that I'm your superior, not your equal, not your mate. That means my business is my own." Max grinned. He'd taken that as a denial, by the looks of things. There was the smallest space between us now. I had to question why I was allowing him to get so close. It wasn't like I had any intention of kissing him. But contrary to what he believed, I wasn't nervous around him. He was easy to be around because he didn't want to play games or make bets or push me on things. He just wanted to have a laugh.
"Okay, but like I said, we're on our own time now. This is just one single person talking to another."
"What does this single person want?" He pursed his lips for a second.
I guess what I want is to know if, when we're on our own time, we can cancel out each other's single status."
His cuteness, smooth voice, and the fact that he wasn't being pushy almost made me consider it. But I had plenty of reasons not to. "Mates is the best I can do, and by mates I mean friends." Max nodded, but didn't lose his smile.
There's one thing you'll learn about me in training tomorrow. What's that? I don't give up easily. I'm not playing hard to get, I told him as he hopped out of the pool. Mate, that's it. I know you're not playing, but babe, that just makes you even more of a challenge. You've no idea how much I like challenges. You might not have meant to, but you just turned me on big style. I had a feeling that he didn't walk away with vampire speed because he was hoping I'd take a sneaky look at his ass as he strutted off. I didn't look. I'd already gotten a good look at it at the tryout. It was a nice behind if ever there was one. Biteable. You've just saved his life by saying no, I heard in my head. Jared. My head immediately snapped up to look at his balcony. He wasn't out, but I could see him at the window. Seconds later, he was out of view, but I'd seen his expression long enough to notice that he was absolutely livid with me. That bothered me as I lay there later that morning, trying desperately to get some sleep. But after a day's sleep in the comfiest bed ever, I actually didn't feel so bad. Yeah, I still felt crappy over everything that had happened with Jared, and I still had mixed feelings over killing my maker. But there were bigger problems, like the fact that the Hollow might be attacked soon and the squad had to be prepared. So although I was again a little tempted to hide away in my room, I ignored it. I thought about trying to teleport to the office, but immediately decided against it. God knew where I'd end up. It was odd. Usually, when I absorbed someone's power, I could handle it just as easily as I handled my own. I knew exactly how to harness and channel energy, and that was all you needed in order to control and effectively use a power. But I couldn't seem to grasp how to use this teleporting thing. Thankfully, it would fade as soon as I used up all of the energy that Jared had passed on to me. Before I was even halfway down the corridor to the office, I knew that Jared wasn't in there. Not simply because I hadn't picked up his scent, but because I couldn't sense him near. The fact that I shouldn't be able to sense when he was near totally galled me. All right, Fletch, I greeted as I reached the reception desk outside my office. Oh, love, come here. Before I could say a word, he was on his feet and his arms were clamped around me. I guessed he'd heard about Victor meeting his doom at my hands. It's all right, love. It's all right, he crooned, as though I was crying. I know, I know. Fletch, I'm fine, honestly. You don't have to act for me, love. He was patting my back now. Oh, bugger off, you big Nancy, I giggled, stepping out of his arms. I'm fine. Your emotions say different. Oh, crap. Yeah, I'd forgotten he was an empath. Okay, I'm a bit mixed up. Mixed up? You're all over the place. You're like a broth of conflicting emotions. He cradled his head as if the impact of it all hurt. Bloody drama queen. Ooh, I can feel a migraine coming on. Then I'll leave you be. Oh, bless ya. Bless ya. Once settled at my desk, I retrieved my notepad, intent on doing flowcharts on the recruits for me to document what their ability was now and what goal I had for each of them. That was, of course, if they bothered turning up later at the arena. I got the feeling that some of them might. Max, David, and Denny would. Maybe Chico and Borch. I wouldn't go chasing after the others, as that would cut into the training time of those that did show, which wasn't fair to them. As for afterwards, I might make up a mini tornado and stick the lazy absent gits inside it. That would be satisfying to watch. On completing the flowcharts, I stuck each one in the relevant recruits file. I still had an hour to kill before it was time to meet the recruits at the arena, when Evan strolled in the office, wearing a cheery grin.
You're here. I knew you would be.
He looked edible in those tank green pants and t-shirt, but I wouldn't have thought they'd suit him if I hadn't seen the evidence for myself. Confused, I said. Where else would I be?
Well, some people thought you might want more time alone. I said you'd have bounced back by now. Right, come on.
Say again.
Antonio wants to see you, in the mansion.
With that, he turned and waltzed cockily out the office, confident that I'd follow. Which I did. Fletcher's face was a question mark as Evan and I started down the corridor together.
Wanting to be careful not to start rumors that I was shagging both brothers, I told my assistant, Fletch, I'm just going to see Antonio, and after that I'll be at the arena if you need me.
Right, love.
He looked less suspicious now, but still curious. What does he want to see me about? I asked Evan as we left the command center, heading toward the mansion. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the recruits had gone whining to him that I'd thrown bits of their past at them.
Don't look so worried, chuckled Evan.
I'm not worried. It's just that I feel like I've been sent for by the school headmaster, and I'm now being escorted to his office to get a rollicking for something.
Oh, no, I don't think it's anything like that.
He held the door open for me, and we stepped into the grand hallway of the mansion.
He probably just wants to make sure you're okay after what happened last night.
After a moment of walking in silence along the hallway, he said,
So, are you okay?
No offense, but I'd rather not keep going with this conversation, considering that I know exactly what course it'll take.
It'll take a course? He asked, amused.
I'll say I'm fine, then you'll say I can't really be fine, then I'll try to convince you I am, then you'll say how it must have been really hard for me to kill him.
Well, it must have been.
Jared, Max, and Fletcher said the same thing, and all three times it made me feel like shit.
Why?
Because it wasn't hard. I did it without thinking.
You did it to protect Antonio. That's nothing to feel bad about.
Gently, Evan squeezed my shoulder, giving me the sort of smile that begs you to smile yourself. So I did. And that was the moment, while Evan had his hand on my shoulder and we were smiling at each other widely, that fate decided it would be fun for Jared to walk down the same hallway, heading in our direction. His face was a picture of fury. Oh, bugger.
Where are you taking her? I heard in my head.
Did Jared realize he'd sent that thought to me instead of Evan?
Antonio wants to see her. Why are we talking about this telepathically?
Evan's confusion didn't show on his face. Then I understood what was happening. Absorbing a little of Jared's power must have made it possible for me to listen to telepathic conversations around me. I didn't let it show that I could hear. Jared, nearly at us.
Why are you taking her to him?
Evan.
I was asked to go get her. What's the problem?
Jared.
No problem. You can both do what you want. It's none of my business.
Evan, amused.
Oh, I get it. She won't let you screw her, will she? Hi,
said Jared to both Evan and me as he stopped before us. If I hadn't been able to hear the frustration in his telepathic voice, I might have bought his aloof expression. All right, I greeted, trying for aloof too.
Where are you off to, bro? Evan asked him.
Evan.
Oh, I bet this is all new for you. I was starting to think there wasn't a girl out there who wouldn't spread her legs for you. She gets more and more interesting.
Jared.
Evan, I'm not in the mood for this. Oh, and don't think she'll let you in her panties either. Going back to the squad, replied Jared. Dawson supervised them for me while I came to speak to Antonio and Luther.
He gestured with his head to the room across the hallway. Evan, still amused.
Oh my God, this has really gotten to you, hasn't it? It's not just killing your pride, you're...
Jared.
Luther's just told me there'll be trouble ahead. He obviously meant you.
Evan, even more amused and singing.
There may be trouble ahead.
Jared turned to me, all business, but still friendly.
I need to update the recruits' files. You done with them for tonight?
Yeah, they're on my desk, I replied in the same tone. Evan still singing.
But while there's moonlight and music and love and romance...
Let's face the music and dance, I finished, watching both of them gawk at me unattractively. I'll see you both later. And then I strolled off, whistling the tune of the song that might very well end up stuck in my head all night long. I could feel their eyes still on me as I advanced into the room that Jared had come out of only a minute ago. All right, I said to Antonio and Luther, who offered me greeting smiles. I then nodded to the guards, who nodded back as I was licked half to death by the dogs. Nero was especially attentive. This room was absolutely huge and amazing. I'd been expecting another parlor, given that Antonio seemed to love them, but this was different from anything I'd seen. In the center was a large rectangular aviary. Inside were canaries, rabbits, guinea pigs, and some other types of birds I didn't know the names to. The aviary was made of glass.